Chapter 8
Amaya!
Anwar called out again for her sister to at least acknowledge her, but the Oryx woman remained on her knees in the snowbank with one hand over her heart. She was panting slightly like we all were during the hike, but the grimace of pain slightly creasing her otherwise blank expression was worrisome.
What's wrong? I asked as I crouched down in front of her.
She just stopped,
Anwar explained as she clutched her sister's shoulder.
I'm afraid to try to use magic on her again in case it aggravates her current state.
Can I try?
Shay's melodious voice trickled in, and the Ibex woman froze.
I just explained that magic...
She started with an affronted look on her face.
But I cannot do magic,
Shay said, with a patient yet authoritative voice that came from deep within her. The resonance of such a voice reminded me of whenever Mech channeled his voice, only instead of being compelled to do anything, Shay's voice just was.
Shaylee?
Horace piped up from behind us, and he came closer when he noticed the subtle change in the air.
Please,
Shay said to Anwar with a serene expression across her heart-shaped face. Her voice sounded more like it usually did, and I breathed a brief sigh of relief.
I can feel it this time. Let me help when I know how.
The two women locked eyes with one another, and it was clear the mage was struggling to find a way to deny the Phoenix woman. But she could not. Finally, after what seemed like an eternity, the Ibex woman tipped her long-horned head in permission. Shay, I questioned, when she lowered herself next to me so she was also eye-level with the Oryx woman. Are you sure?
As sure as I'll ever be, my darling,
she smiled.
It's the same feeling I had when I saw you, but not as powerful as it was then. I think I'm starting to recognize it.
Does it feel like a powerful, surging river under your feet? I asked.
Yes, and at any moment, I fear I could be taken away by it if I don't take care to place my feet,
she finished breathlessly. That's what I feel whenever I call upon the time trance. I grinned at her and then faced Anwar. She's right. Her power doesn't come from your magic, so I think you can trust her. The Ibex woman didn't say anything, but she dropped her shoulders somewhat and took an easier breath. Her wide-open eyes gave me a pang of sympathy because if she was as protective as I was over her loved ones, then the thought of sitting by helpless and being forced to give that care over to someone you didn't know very well must hurt. Go ahead, Shaylee, Horace said, and looped his arm around Anwar's in support. Shay bowed her head once and then turned her utmost focus toward the Oryx woman. Her hands came up and cupped Amaya's face, and instantly the Augur woman's rigid body relaxed as she leaned into Shay. I watched in speechless awe at the way my wife's eyes brimmed with heavy tears, and then two of those tears floated off her blushing cheeks and soaked themselves into Amaya's. Amaya closed her wide gray eyes and sighed as if she was finally being given relief from whatever pain had her doubling over a moment ago. Her expression was still vacant, but she placed a hand over Shay's heart before getting up.
What did you do?
Anwar asked, as we all watched the Oryx woman get back to her feet and resume walking.
I don't know, only that it felt as if I could feel her grief,
Shay said, and took my hand when I offered to help her up.
No, not her grief, but Siskorn's.
Her verdant eyes landed on Ambassador Siskorn with such sympathy, and it was only a surprise to those who didn't know her when she walked right up to the man and hugged him.
Milady?
Siskorn questioned, and his hands hovered above her like he wasn't sure what to do or what was even happening.
You lost a sister,
Shay murmured, and then looked up at him like the pure and compassionate soul she was.
I could feel it through him. And that grief belongs to you as well. So I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry.
Oh, Zara was a long time ago, he said, and gave in to the hug the Phoenix woman was foisting upon him.
It was her stubbornly endearing side, and when he locked eyes with me, I just shrugged. Go with it, Horace advised. Siskorn mirrored my own shrug, and when Shay stepped back, he patted her on the head like she was some delightful forest animal. Zara was your sister? I asked.
He did not tell you when he asked you to manipulate me with her name.
Siskorn arched an eyebrow, but before I could apologize, he shook his head.
Do not worry. I'm not mad at you for his meddling. and I think I know why he brought up Zara. She was our sister who committed treason. Zara's conspiracy with some Varthan concubines led to a lot of lives lost, one of them being our mother, who was my father's second wife. Our father appointed Siskorn to be her executioner, and although he loved her, she was always his lesson to me about having to do what needed to be done to protect Tyr. His parting words to me from you were a reminder of this responsibility.
It wasn't my intention to rub salt in the wound, I said. I'm sorry again, for what it's worth.
You have done the right thing, not the easy thing, which is why he trusted you, he said, more to himself, as if he had fitted these conclusions together some time ago.
So sorry to interrupt,
Captain Nemus barged in with a contrite shuffle of his feet.
But the wee lass is bent on walking with or without us, and the devils are getting hungry.
Maya!
Anwar shouted and caught up with her sister so she could slow down the other woman's pace. Meanwhile, the screechers were chomping at the bit with a cruel glint in their eyes, and their drool pattered the hard-packed dirt beneath them, so I knew we were out of time. The captain's right, we gotta go, I said, and I armed my crossbow with a bolt from its case. A piercing shriek cannonballed off the sheer cliffs, and the screechers suddenly flocked to the sky in a huge gale.
That's new, Horus said, as he equipped himself with his own weapon. They seem to be organizing themselves.
That's something I don't want to find out more about, I grumbled, and I pushed our group to a jog in the formation we had, with Siskorn at the front as our personal bulldozer for any rock debris in our way. Horus, Shay, and I rotated through the pack depending on where we were needed to beat back the advancing flock of screechers. They were dive-bombing us every chance they got, and their razor-sharp dew claws managed to get a few cuts in here and there. For any of them that swooped low enough, Zoe and Nemus were at the ready with katana and cutlass, respectively. Nemus, for one, didn't seem as interested in collecting any of the fallen corpses, like he was seemingly too irritated with the swarm to think about dinner. Rylan, however, was on top of collecting as many of the ones Horus and I dropped so we could keep replenishing our stock. Because Horus and I didn't have the luxury of being surrounded by our weapons of choice, unlike Shay, who could use any old rock for her sling, we both attempted to skewer more than one at a time with each shot. The only problem was the sheer number of screechers seemed to just keep coming and coming, and Rylan could only retrieve so many of our arrows. So when I was down to 5 bolts left, I switched to arming myself with my blades. This was a lot more difficult because the screechers were getting smarter and would hover just above slashing distance. This forced Zoe and I to team up in interesting combinations where I often provided a stable launch pad for some of the Cat Warriors' more impressive acrobatic Capcom 2D fighter-style air combo moves. Because we were so in tune with each other, it made the coordinated combat look more like a dance, and I relished in the way her lithe body arced and twirled in the air as she raised the flying menaces out of the sky. And I was pretty sure, judging by the manic grin on her face, that she was also enjoying herself. In fact, I was almost starting to forget how much of a threat these fuckers actually were, and I treated it more like a training exercise. But then the giant grasshopper-like creatures that suddenly exploded out of the rocky slope we were on completely wiped out the whole fun and games factor.
What are those things?
Shay yelled as more of the jumping bug things burst out of the ground and tried to snatch at the screechers swarming above.
Rockfishers! Siskorn bellowed over his shoulder. They feast on screecher swarms! Fucking shit, is everything on this island a predator?
I grumbled and stashed my weapons so I could put on a more coordinated burst of speed.
Everyone dodge the rockfishers! The caves are close!
Siskorn roared, and he batted down a mutant grasshopper that just exploded out of the rock in front of him. The slope we were all running up suddenly started to feel loose under my feet, and with a dawning horror, I realized the rockfishers were weakening the foundation of the slope, and at this rate they could cause a landslide that would spell our doom.
Hurry!
I bellowed, and I grabbed the back of Jenner's jacket when he fell to one knee under a loose patch of shifting gravel. Then Zoe was there running up behind the koala man so she could swing him up and around on her back.
The caves!
she gasped, and pointed through the clouds of dirt to the darkened hollows of what had to be the entrance to the cave network Siskern was talking about.
Push!
I yelled, just as the ground finally started to slide in earnest. The thundering of the rock fissures shook the ground, and I devolved to running on all fours just to keep as much of the shifting slope under me as possible. It was close, but I just managed to claw my way into the cave after Zoe and Jenner, and right before the whole slope gave way to a spectacular landslide.
Alex!
I heard Shay scream in the dark.
I'm here!
I assured her, and I untucked my doula stone from my shirt so it could light up the dust-filled cave.
How's everyone else? Sound off!
Everyone announced their presence in the semi-darkness, Anwar answering for her sister, and with each intact yet shaken voice, I relaxed more and more.
It's a good thing the caves were what we wanted,
Horace commented, as he set about ripping shreds of fabric off the bottom of his ratty tunic. With a little bit of the brandy Captain Nemus managed to salvage from soaring, he soaked the strips and went about wrapping the strips around two gnarled pieces of root he'd dug up from the cave floor.
We are definitely buried in.
Some warning about those fish rockets would have been nice,
Nemus snarked, as he helped the Falcon Man.
Rock fishers, Siskern growled back at the Raccoon Man. And I was under the impression it was too late in the season for them to be in abundance. Just another piece of this strange puzzle. I have the feeling I've been away from this place for too long.
The Raptor Man lapsed into silence at that, and we all took a moment to gather ourselves and attend to any minor bruises and scrapes acquired on our mad dash through the rock slide. Once Horace had two decent torches burning alongside the stone light from the ambassador and me, we were finally able to see how deep the narrow cave went. Seeing that depthless maw where the torchlight was swallowed up was pretty intimidating. But the flames were flickering, so that meant the breeze was getting in from somewhere in that direction.
All of these passages lead to the main chamber where the grubs like to nest, Siskern explained. If we keep following the draft, we are sure to stumble upon it.
Wait, we want to find these giant nest full of grubs that could very well eat us? I questioned. What now about big things eating us?
Horace butted in, as he walked faster to catch up with the ambassador and I at the front. Siskern ignored him and continued on with describing the particulars of Terran wildlife.
The grubs only leave their young in the nest while the adults prefer their own individual tunnels for sleeping.
His low timbre echoed off the curved walls of the tunnel we were currently walking along.
As long as we are quiet, we should be able to traverse the nursery chamber and hopefully find air vents like these ones that lead into the island proper.
Ambassador, how do these grubs see in this darkness?
Zoe queried from behind us.
They have excellent hearing, and these tunnels act as natural amplifiers. So use caution, he said.
The grimness of his tone ceased all conversation as the whole group attempted to lighten their footsteps. Upon silent agreement, we all agreed on the slow and steady route over something quick, so our echoing footfalls were as muted as possible. We continued this way for quite some time, as the silent tension grew and grew. Every sound that wasn't the deliberate treading of our march was heightened due to the dark. And with the constant threat of large animals with super hearing, everyone was on edge. Our little bubble of torchlight didn't really seem to penetrate the absolute darkness. And along with the stress, it was easy for the oppressive atmosphere to start messing with everyone's heads. After a length of time that could have been hours or days, I brought us all to a halt so we could rest and have a meal. And not a moment too soon, apparently, because the sense of relief that fell over the crew was palpable.
How long have we been walking?
Anwar asked in a low voice as she helped Amaya take off the boots that were so foreign on her free-spirited feet. There were a few blisters on the delicate arches, which made me frown.
I'm really not sure, I answered as I looked up into Amaya's pinched face. How is she?
The darkness weighs on her already taxed resources. It's already hard for an Augur woman to be away from the sun, but while she suffers the effects of Regent's tears, it is doubly so. There is nothing I can do.
The Ibex woman abruptly trailed off, and I glanced at her curiously. Anwar? I asked.
It's just...
Do you think your wife might be able to do what she did before?
The mage bit her lip in a way that made me think she wasn't good at asking others for help. And a beat later, she proved my theory with her halting and frustrated words.
I would ask her, but I already made an ass out of myself by implying... I just don't like feeling helpless when Maya is concerned.
I understand, I said, and put her out of her misery. But you should still ask her. I have it on good authority that Shay cares for your sister very much.
Like you do?
Anwar asked back, and by the look in her eyes, I could tell what she meant. Shay only seems to be able to heal those she loves, I said simply, and I watched the Phoenix woman interact with Zoe and Rylan as they worked together to make more watery soup for all of us. Even if she hasn't figured it out completely, she knows she can't do anything unless her feelings are strong. The Ibex woman leaned back a little at that, as if she was considering this new evidence presented in front of her.
Your wife?
She queried. Wives, plural, I said, and nodded in Zoe's direction. They both care for Amaya like they care for each other.
I've never seen Asher wives interact with each other the way yours do,
she admitted.
It is clear you all have a bond beyond understanding.
A bond, with your blessing, we would like to extend to Amaya when the time is right, I ventured casually.
Surely you must know,
she began, but I raised my hand to stop her. Your brother told me all about the oath and about what it means for her to be the prophetess, I said. And then I gazed at the Oryx woman still trapped in her waking nightmare. My face hardened with the fierce stab of protectiveness I felt whenever I thought about a prophetess's supposed life of servitude, according to the Order. I will free her, Anna. She blinked her opal eyes in shock for a moment, but then a small smile tickled the corners of her mouth.
I now know why Horus has chosen to align himself with you,
Anwar commented as she fixed those eyes on Horus, who was skinning one of the screechers Rylan had managed to scoop up.
He has always been one who needs to follow a just and loyal leader. But after the treatment of his father, I was sure he would never join a duelist. And yet, here you are, making promises that should sound impossible for anybody else to keep. And somehow I believe you.
Good, I said, and reached into my pack for the blister salve Shay gave me for my hands whenever training with Zoe took its toll. Then I gently maneuvered Amaya's feet into my lap and began to massage some of the poultice into the Oryx woman's sore-looking arches. Go, ask Shay. She honestly wants nothing more. Anwar's usually stony expression softened, and she stood up and squeezed my shoulder in her strong, silent way. Did you see that? I whispered to a still vacant Amaya, as her sister went over to talk to my Phoenix wife. I think Anna's on board. So if you didn't want us to be so secret, I think we have her blessing, Ames. Now you just gotta come back to me. A faint frown furrowed her already furrowed brow, and for a moment her eyes focused on mine before the haze flickered back into place. It was almost like getting reception for a moment through the static, and I tried not to think about how it hurt my heart. Need a little more time, huh? I sighed and gently squeezed her feet. Take all the time you need, but just know all of us are waiting. Her pearl-like eyes remained distant, but her frown lines lessened, so I held on to the hope I was reaching her somehow.
Let's see what seems to be the problem, darling.
Shay cooed a moment later as she walked up with the Ibex woman trailing in her wake with a somewhat dazed expression on her face. I smiled when I saw Shay's hand clasped with the stunned mage. And then I got to my feet so I could let Shaylia, the incarnate of Nada, take over. Shay knelt down and cupped Amaya's face with her soft hands. And with her even softer gaze, she looked into the Oryx woman's pinched face and then pressed their foreheads together. Maybe it was the acoustics of the cave, but I swore I could feel Shay's deep sigh within my own lungs as it trembled just on the edge of breaking. And then, like a small rupture in a powerful dam, a bevy of tears flowed out of the Phoenix woman's emerald eyes and spiraled up into the cavern like a crystal chandelier. Because of how close they were, it was almost impossible for some of them not to soak into Amaya's face. Shay gave another deep breath that I could feel, and I wasn't imagining it this time because the whole cave breathed with her. The sudden gust nearly whooshed out the torches and almost put out the small campfire. But when they stayed lit and became steady once more, I was met with a beautiful sight. The two women were holding each other, and Amaya especially was smiling at Shay with her eyes closed, as if she was basking in a summer rain. Then the balmy feeling faded back to the cold dampness of the cave, the Phoenix woman's tears fell normally, and the spell was broken.
She... how did she do that?
Anwar whispered from her place next to me. She had her hands stretched out and glowing faintly, but her expression said she was just as awestruck as I was.
When I feel for her, she's suddenly clearer, more on the surface.
At this, Amaya turned her lamp-lit eyes over to us, and then she sauntered over. First, she butted her forehead against her sister's jaw as the taller woman hugged her tight. Then she came over to me and placed a hand to my jaw. The swirl of her touch thrummed through me, and an inner voice seemed to whisper, "I'm here. Be patient. I'm here."
"She gonna be okay, Dad?" Rylan
asked, when Amaya meandered back over and draped her arms around Shay from behind, so she could bury her face in the Phoenix woman's crimson mane of hair. "She will," I reassured him. After that, the overbearing darkness seemed less suffocating, and after all of us filled our bellies with soup, we each had a lighter tread to our steps, as if renewed by the meal for its warmth rather than its flavor. Spirits were high as we traveled along in our little bubble of light, and I almost didn't hear it above the low, pleasant crackle of hushed voices. It wasn't until I caught Horace's eye, when he glanced over his shoulder, that I knew I wasn't imagining it.
"Guys, shh, wait," I said, and halted everyone in their tracks.
Zoe's sensitive ears twitched, and her face shone a pale, greenish color. I was confused at first, but the longer I listened, I realized what brought on her queasy expression. The sound grew louder with each step, and a sick feeling set up camp in my gut when my imagination conjured up exactly what it sounded like. The sound was a wet, slithering hiss, like licking of a tongue over slick, sharp teeth.